I got the script like a day before, and you know, which could have been earlier.
What's up, folks? I'm Karima, aka The Blurred Girl, and welcome back to The Blurred Girl Podcast. Now, if you've been watching Star Trek Strange New Worlds on Paramount Plus, then you will recognize this week's guest, Babs Olusemokun, who plays Dr. Mbenga. Actually, my previous guest, Celia Rose Gooding, who plays Uhura, is his co-star. Now, we had a lovely conversation about magic, Star Trek, and jujitsu. But before we get into that, let's pay some bills. Since the pandemic started, I've gotten much better at finding ways to relax. No longer a guilty pleasure, finding time to stop work and get off social media and unwind is now mandatory. And one of the ways I do this is by listening to audiobooks on Audible. Now, some of my favorite authors and past guests, like N.K. Jemisin, Daniel Jose Older, Ashley C. Ford, and even the guys from Black Nerd Problems have books on Audible. Audible even has scripted podcasts like Neil Gaiman's Sandman, and the brand new Sandman 2 featuring James McAvoy, John Lithgow, Reggie Jean Page, Kat Dennings, David Tennant, and Jeffrey Wright. And you know what else? Audible also has sleep stories. I love listening to those in bed when I'm having trouble shutting my brain off after a busy day. It's a really great way to get some sleep. But don't take my word for it. Check out Audible for yourself. In fact, if you sign up today, you get a 30-day free trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl. That's audibletrial.com/theblerdgurl. Now back to the show. Welcome back. Now do me a favor, please stop what you're doing and take a minute to subscribe to this podcast on whatever podcatcher you want. Also, if you can leave a positive rating over on iTunes, that would be a huge help. And if you're feeling super special, screenshot this episode and tag me in a post on IG Stories or TikTok. I love that and I always answer back. Also, if you haven't already, please pre-order my upcoming book, Marvel's Protectors of Wakanda, A History and Training of the Dora Milaje. It's available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, and a bunch of other bookstores. And if you click the link in my bio, you can also order from a Black bookstore near you. Now, about my guest today. If you are caught up with Star Trek Strange New Worlds, well, at least through episode 8, you will recognize today's guest, Babs Olusemokun, who plays Dr. Mbenga. Now, he has a very interesting story this season because he sneaks his daughter, Rukia, onto the ship before they leave Earth. But she happens to be suffering from late stage cancer. So he beams her into the ship's buffer every day in order to slow down the process until he can find a cure. Now, he always reads stories to her. Stay with me. I'm making a point here, I promise. Her favorite story is an in-world fairy tale called The Elysian Kingdom. Now, coincidentally, this story was written by an in-world character named Benny Russell, who is a science fiction writer that was actually played by Avery Brooks on Star Trek Deep Space Nine. So there's a little tie-in there that you can use on your favorite trivia night. Now, that's not the only callback. In fact, in the spirit of Star Trek Next Generation's Cupid, where Q mind-controlled the crew and made everyone pretend that they were in Robin Hood. In the episode Elysian Kingdom, something similar happens because the ship comes in contact with an entity. Now, you never see the entity, but it connects with Rukia's fairy tale dreams inside of the ship, transforming everyone on board into characters from the story. Now, no one remembers this. Well, in fact, the only person who has a mind of their own at first is Dr. Mbenga, aka King Ridley. If you get a chance, watch the episode. It's goofy and fun, and I won't spoil the end for you, but it does get very emotional at the end. I did shed a tear, but it is a lot of fun. And the entire episode is really revolving around Dr. Mbenga. I thought it was really, really nice how they gave him his own moment. Also, we talk about what it's like being on this massive ship and part of this massive franchise. So up next, my interview with Babs Olusemokun. The first question I've been meaning to ask you is, were you a Star Trek fan growing up, and were you familiar with your character, Dr. M'Benga, when you got the role?
Yes, I was a Star Trek fan growing up, and I wasn't, you know, but not of a fan enough to have seen all the episodes, but I'd seen quite a bit as a child. And so I did have to go back and look for Dr. M'Benga. Of course, he was only in two episodes, you know, so, but I did look at those, and
And just like you mentioned, he was only in two episodes. It was sort of like a very brief moment in time, but then you got a whole set. What did that feel like when you first walked into sick bay and realized this was all yours?
It's crazy. It's quite big and, you know, hyper updated. They really gave us a lot of space in there, and it's just beautiful. Those beds, those bio beds move and contort, you know, like into different shapes. It feels, you can sit in them, you can lay in them. It's quite an amazing piece of work, the production design, and, you know, it's just really wonderful.
Yes, it feels like the most of the set is very much to scale, is what it feels like. It looks very expansive.
Yes. And you can move things and turn things, and, you know, it's really something. It's really something. I don't think I'm a fidgety person, but I'm always fidgeting, you know, when the camera is not rolling, because I'm always just pulling at things. And I'm like, oh my God, look at that. And, you know, and prodding things and touching things, you know, because you're just like, oh my God, what? It's a beautiful playground. It's really special.
It seems. I want to talk a little bit about this beautiful arc this season that you have with your daughter, Rukia, who is dealing with a terminal illness. The doctor has a very unique way of keeping her alive. Can you explain that to us?
Well, he suspends her in the buffer, you know. He just puts her, like, keeps her in there and sort of calls her back when it's time to read or eat. And that's it. It's a very technical thing that the doctor does.
It's almost as if he's beaming her into the ship's computer.
I feel she's suspended in the buffer, which for me, it means she's always there. Just, you know, it's like he's keeping her pattern in there, and she's never, you know, you can always recall her. We could say beaming. Maybe that's another way to put it.
Yeah. Now, episode 8 was such a ride. What was it like when you first saw your costume and you realized that the whole crew was going to be involved in this fairy tale story?
It was very interesting, because for really almost like 3 months or so before, like literally, you know, 3-4 months before, it's like, you know, like people in the other departments were already telling me about it. Like, oh my God, absolutely. You know, do you know, like, you're in your costume for 8 and and then I started seeing the pictures, and it was really beautiful, you know, but they always had sort of more information than, you know, I had the idea of the arc, and the producers, they wanted to tell me more, actually, the showrunners, and I told them, yeah, no, don't tell me, you know, like in our sort of pre-meeting before we started shooting. I was like, yeah, no, you don't need to tell me everything. But so maybe that was my fault. So other departments were sort of telling me about it and were sort of blown away by it. And, you know, and so you're excited, but, you know, you're not sure what you're so excited about. And, you know, but seeing the costume got me more excited and, you know, and a chance to just be in this other world and really be yourself, but sometimes have to be this Kingwardly, you know, in brief moments, you know, but it was fantastic. And, you know, I got the script like a day before, and, you know, which could have been earlier, but it was just brilliant, because I shot like every day, you know, like sort of last one in, first one in, last one out type thing. And it was a fantastic experience to have. And I, you know, I loved the living in it and the interactions with the other characters, you know, and everybody else playing these different characters, these different roles. And it was just wonderful. The art departments, like, really, you know, went above and beyond. you know, and just putting everything together. And yeah, it was really beautiful. It was really beautiful and touching to me. And I always feel, you know, you have a sense of responsibility, you know, when you get like a script like that, you know, and you muster everything you can to bring it to life. You know?
Yes. No, absolutely. In fact, the end was a tearjerker in almost like a Doctor Who sort of way, with her coming back older. Will we see Rukia again? Have they told you that yet?
We'll see. Why not? You know, I think the beautiful part of this is like, why not? In the world that we're in, and the space that we're in, you know, if the writers, you know, come up with something compelling, you know, I think that's the beautiful part of this job. Like the beautiful and exciting part of this job, like you can do what you want. So you could really do anything you want, you know, if you just have the writing, the story to support it. The actress Sage was really, really lovely and wonderful to work with, you know?
Yeah, she was special. Amazing.
Yeah, really special. So would I love to work with her again? Absolutely, you know? So, yeah, so we shall see.
When I spoke to Celia Rose Gooding, I told her that she was basically going to be the only Uhura my baby niece knows. And so you're about to be the only Star Trek ship doctor she knows. So how does it feel being a role model like that?
You know, I think when I hear it like that, it always, I mean, just touches you more, even more, you know, because we do this work because we love, you know, we love acting. We love to, you know, live through these things and live through these characters. But like I've been saying, when others find it meaningful, it just takes it to another level. So when you speak of your niece, and it's just a beautiful thing to hear. And it is a responsibility, but it's a responsibility, I believe. It's a responsibility I know for sure Celia will rise to, and, you know, she's just brilliant. And it's one I endeavor to uphold also.
And final question. So many of your fans know that you're a jiu-jitsu expert. Are we going to see Dr. Mbenga like throw hands? Like, are we going to see him get in there and defend the sick bay?
You know, like I said, because of the space we're in and what this is, we can play. So, without saying more than that, you know, I think there's an opportunity to play, and play is what we will do with heart.
Yeah. Can't wait to see it. I appreciate you talking with me.
Arama, thank you so, so much.
Now, if you did not know until this interview, Babsalu Samokun has a second degree Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt under Fabio Clemente. So I was not joking when I asked if he was ready to throw hands. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment on this episode if you enjoyed it. And don't forget to pre-order Protectors of Wakanda and check out audible.com for yourself. If you sign up today, you get a 30-day free trial. Check them out at audibletrial.com/theblurredgirl or check the show notes for everything. See you next time.